The past has come back to haunt the former asbestos mining town of Bayugal in northern New South Wales. It's come in the form of mesothelioma, the deadly disease of the membrane around the lungs which is caused by asbestos. In the 1970s, Bayugal's school playground was plentifully supplied with asbestos tailings from the James Hardy mine, piles of the stuff which children used to play in every day. Now the first of those Aboriginal children has been diagnosed with mesothelioma, a disease which means he may only have months of painful and distressing life left. His name is Floyd Laurie, and he has little recourse against the mining company which moved overseas some years ago. Matt Peacock's been following this story since the mid-70s. He joined me a short while ago.
It's west of Grafton, inland on the Clarence River, and it was a unique little community on a thing called the Square, which was an area of land that the original settler gave to the local Aboriginal tribe, the Bundjalung tribe, where Tony Mundine and Anthony Mundine and other famous Aboriginal sports people come from.
Now, oddly enough, you and I were working together on a story about asbestos at the time, and I can clearly remember how shocked I was when you came back with this story that these kids had been playing in asbestos. Who were they and how did that happen?
Well, I can still clearly remember the shock that I got when I drove into the town and I noticed that the road had turned white, you know, from a red dust, all of a sudden it was white. And I picked up a handful and sure enough I could see the fibres in it. And as I walked into the school, there's what appears to be a sand pit, except it's not sand, it's asbestos. I couldn't believe it. And even many, many years later, I still can't. Particularly what bugged me was that the James Hardy doctor, whom I think you saw, Dr. Terry McCulloch, used to go up there and do these sort of half-hearted tests every couple of years of the miners. Now, he drove along that same road. He was a specialist on asbestos and never a word.
But how did these piles of asbestos get into the schoolyard?
Well, it was commonplace. It was a great fill. Even the local council used to pick it up from the mine and use it on the road.
So it was a donation to the school, essentially.
Yeah, the mine management allowed people to use these tailings from the mine to scatter around the square and even in the local school, as you can hear Floyd describe.
At the roads and the car parks, on our car drive, everywhere. And your dad used to bring it home, and we used to have it all around our yard. We used to play marbles. We used to make some pancakes. We used to sometimes heat it, and we didn't know what it was. So,
Floyd, who was a Bayugal school child at the time, primary school, so he'd now be about 50?
Yeah, that's right.
And what's happened to him now?
He's the first, and who knows how many others, to contract the very specific asbestos cancer, mesothelioma, which generally you don't live very long after it's been diagnosed.
And you've met a lot of people in that category over the years.
I have, but not from Bayugal. Now, the significance of this is that James Hardy always used to say, well, Aboriginal life expectancy is not long enough. It takes 40 years, roughly, an average of 30 to 40 years before the mesotheliomas develop. And their argument before, you know, the House of Representatives inquiry, for example, was that they'd done Aboriginal people a favour by giving them jobs and that their lives they lived were actually longer than the average life expectancy of other Aboriginal communities.
And 40 years is roughly the lead time to wait for mesothelioma after exposure. So how has it left the rest of the community up there feeling now?
Deeply apprehensive. Floyd's sister, for example, has similar stories. They all have similar stories about how they used to get covered in dust. You only have to listen to Di recount her experiences, very similar to Floyd's.
When they drop off the new tailings, well, we just go and play in these piles of asbestos. To us, it was just like dirt or sand. It wasn't harmful to us. Well, we thought it wasn't harmful because no one told us that it was. We just dived in it.
And their prospects now, what do they feel about that now that Floyd has been diagnosed?
Well, they all, you see, I mean, there's a photograph, for example, of them at the school and you can see the big tailings at the school.
They're sitting on asbestos pipes, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Next to enormous great piles of asbestos dust.
That's right. One of the ironies is that Floyd, I mean, none of these people are well off, really, and Floyd wants to have the honeymoon he never had while he's still able to walk. But the irony is that his lawyer can't sue James Hardy or won't be suing James Hardy. James Hardy in this whole episode appears to be getting off scot-free because the deal that was hatched with Bernie Banton, remember when the company moved offshore, the deal that they did with the New South Wales government has a specific clause that says in relation to the Bayugle mine, they have to be the defendant of last resort. If you can sue anybody else, you have to sue them.
So who would you sue before that?
Well, in this case, you're suing the New South Wales Department of Education.
Because which means the New South Wales taxpayer.
Which means we pay.
And as I say, what about the people who are left behind and facing the prospect that they too may suffer this disease?
Well, they're all wondering. They've all seen their relations, their mothers, their fathers and their uncles and aunts who worked in the mine or near the mine. They've seen a lot of them go and a lot of them developed asbestosis. But now it's hit them that the 30 to 40 year period is now ticking over, that they all know they've got asbestos in them. I mean, they have it come out of their fingers and, you know, out of their skin. That's how much they used to get it in them. And Di, for example, says to me that she's frightened to go to the doctor now.
I'm afraid to go and get fully checked off the doctors. I'm just so afraid. I'm frightened that I could have something. So every day I just, you know, wake up and think I'm a lucky one. But then my luck could run out too. We don't know.
Di Randall, sister of Floyd Laurie, who's been diagnosed with mesothelioma after being exposed to asbestos in the Bayugle schoolyard. Matt Peacock's report will be on 7:30 tonight on ABC television.